First 5 Santa Clara County, supporting the healthy development of children prenatal through age 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Welcome to Ask the Experts. This podcast is brought to you by First 5 Santa Clara County, providing you with valuable information directly from the experts who provide support for the healthy development of children and families. ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, is often misunderstood and misdiagnosed, leaving parents confused and concerned as to why their children are struggling socially, academically, and with behavior. Dr. Dan Peters is co-founder and clinical director of the Summit Center, where they specialize in the assessment and treatment of children in the areas of learning, processing, emotional, behavioral, and developmental issues, along with giftedness. He is here to discuss ADHD, the behaviors to look for, the importance of a proper diagnosis, and what types of treatment and support that are available for your child. Dr. Peters, thank you for joining us. Will you please describe ADHD?
ADHD is a developmental disorder that's characterized by developmentally inappropriate levels of inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. So several years ago, the disorder was called ADD, Attention Deficit Disorder, and at that time, you could have different types. You can have a hyperactive impulsive type or an inattentive type. And then in its latest iteration, it was changed to ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, where there are now three types: a predominantly hyperactive impulsive type, an inattentive type, or a combined type. So basically, people get confused when they have a child who's only inattentive, that why would they call them ADHD? Why would they call them hyperactive? So they usually revert to the old name of ADD. But essentially, we're talking about the same thing, and what's important is that we characterize what type of the disorder an individual has.
What are some of the developmental behaviors parents should look for if they suspect that their child has ADHD?
When thinking about ADHD, it's very important to think about the developmental age of the child, because many of the ADHD-like behaviors are developmental when a child is very young. That being said, we're usually looking for distractibility, trouble focusing, trouble controlling one's body, trouble controlling one's emotions, a lot of impulsive behavior. Traditionally, people talk about if in a hyperactive situation that a child is always on the go, they never stop moving. And again, it's really looking at what type of ADHD a child might be having. Is someone having more challenges with inattention, or do you have a child who has challenges controlling their behavior? And with that, we often see very low frustration tolerance, getting upset really easily, a lot of meltdowns. You can even see some oppositional type behavior. And while these can also be symptoms of other disorders or other problems, you're really trying to see if there's a pattern of this over time that is getting in the way of a child's daily life, both at home and in other settings such as school and extracurricular activities. What many people do not realize about ADHD is that a child with ADHD knows what to do in a situation when you talk to them about it after it has happened. The challenge with ADHD is doing the right thing in the right moment at the right time because of the behavioral impulsivity. And it can be very frustrating for a child and also create anxiety in them when they know they're going to do something wrong, but they're not sure exactly when they're going to do it. So proper treatments really help a child be able to do the right thing at the right time.
Because many of the ADHD-like behaviors are developmental, are there common misdiagnoses?
There are many common misdiagnoses of ADHD. Primary ones include auditory processing disorder. A child has trouble processing auditory information and therefore is inattentive, not following directions. Anxiety is also another one that is common, where we get a child who's restless, they're distractible, and they might even have emotional meltdowns. They might even be oppositional because they're afraid to do something that someone wants them to do. sensory processing issues, such as sensory processing disorder. That can also be misdiagnosed as ADHD because often kids are getting flooded by sensory information and therefore, again, being inattentive, distractible, and they might even be making noises or reacting to the environment in a way that's seen as impulsive. And also another type of anxiety, which is post-traumatic stress. So many kids who have experienced trauma in their lives also react in ways that look ADHD because they might fade off, they will be inattentive, they might have intense emotional reactions, they might be behaviorally reticent or resistant. So that also can mimic ADHD symptoms. And in some cases, a depressed child can look ADHD as well, because sometimes we see kids who are more agitated in their form and again become more oppositional, and they also might fade away if they're more internalizing their thoughts and their feelings.
You mentioned that kids who have experienced trauma might look as if they have ADHD. Can you elaborate further?
Yes. It can be easily misdiagnosed. When we think about trauma in children, what we see is a host of symptoms that range from detachment, fading off, emotional reactions, behavioral impulsivity and acting out, whether to real situations that remind them of traumatic situations, or just that they are always on edge because of their traumatic situation from the past, or some that might be still going on in their environments. So when you have a child that is being assessed for ADHD, you really want to get a sense of the family history, the child's personal history, what have they experienced, because if trauma's in the picture, it can definitely be mimicking the ADHD behaviors of inattention, impulsivity, and hyper-restlessness, hyperactivity. That being said, it is possible for children who have experienced trauma, who have PTSD, they may also have ADHD, but we want to be real cautious in giving a firm diagnosis until we really understand what's going on for that child, because whatever we're treating, we want the treatment to be effective, and that means treating whatever's going on for the child. So if we're focusing a lot on their attention and actually they're experiencing trauma and they're experiencing intrusive memories, we might be going at it the wrong way.
Parents and teachers often begin to worry about attention and impulsivity during the toddler and preschool years. What is the earliest age that ADHD can be accurately diagnosed and treated?
There has not been a clear defined age that a child could be diagnosed with ADHD for a few reasons. Again, many of the symptoms associated with ADHD are very common in young children. For example, not controlling their emotions and their behavior, having trouble paying attention for long periods of time. So you can often see the symptoms of ADHD in preschool and have questions about kids. Are they restless? Do they have intense amounts of energy? Do they have tremendous difficulty focusing on a task at home or at school? But it really isn't before going into kindergarten, people say, age 5, sometimes age 6, that you want to make a firm diagnosis. You often want to be more cautious and let development take its course, because a lot of kids mature over time and just might be slow to develop some of these frontal lobe functionings like attention, concentration, behavioral control. That being said, with the more moderate to severe cases, you're often pushed to look at it in a more serious way towards the end of preschool and in kindergarten.
If a parent believes that their child has ADHD, what should they do and where do they go to get tested?
The first thing you want to do is go to your child's teacher. Because if a child is having challenges with attention at home, if they have ADHD, they will most certainly have challenges with attention and concentration and distractibility at school. So the first thing is to start fact-finding. Ask your teacher, how is your child performing? Are they able to sit still? Are they seeing some of the things that you might be seeing at home? Is there consistency? Is there inconsistency? Something that a lot of people don't realize is that kids with ADHD are consistently inconsistent, and that's because their frontal lobe isn't always turning on at the right time. And so just because they can be dialed in and have a great day or a great hour doesn't mean that they don't have ADHD. We're looking at their patterns over time. After you've talked to your teacher, you could also take that information to your family practitioner or your child's pediatrician, who's also trained in understanding ADHD and the symptoms. Your practitioner can take you through some questionnaires to look at what is the possibility that your child may have ADHD based on a rating scale, which looks at symptoms of inattention, symptoms of hyperactivity, and symptoms of impulsivity. After that, you can always try to pursue more comprehensive testing because, as we discussed earlier, there are several common misdiagnoses of ADHD, and we really want to make sure that we are finding the right cause for the problematic behavior. And when parents can pursue comprehensive evaluation with an educational psychologist or a licensed clinical psychologist, you really get a host of information about a child's intellectual functioning, whether they have any specific learning issues, and whether they have also anxiety or other auditory processing issues that might be mimicking the ADHD. A step to with your schools is if your child continues to have challenges despite the school putting together an intervention plan to help your child with attention and concentration, you can also request that your child's school test your child's for learning strengths and weaknesses, which can provide very important clues in the evaluation process that another professional like your pediatrician or another psychologist could use to help with the diagnosis.
So if you have your child tested at school and the tests show that your child is operating in the normal range, but as a parent, you still feel that some of the behaviors your child is displaying are detrimental to their reaching their full potential, what should a parent do?
Well, often with test findings, parents get an overview of the test because the testing can be quite detailed and quite elaborate. So the evaluator's job is usually to summarize the results. If the summary does not seem to fit your child, I think that's the time to ask more questions. And don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. Questions about what was your child's highest performance? What was their lowest performance? Do they have a pattern of weaknesses? What is their child's cognitive potential? Meaning, what is your child's brain power or motor? And what does that suggest the level that they should be able to perform? Because what we see with mild to moderate ADHD and other learning issues is that a child might be able to perform at least low average to average, but in brighter children, that is underperforming, that is underachievement. And if we're basing a child's whether or not a child has a disability based on whether they fall in the average range and are not comparing them to other aspects of themselves, we might be missing a very important clue about what is getting in their way. Also, don't be afraid to get a second opinion. It's really important to keep searching for your answer. And just like in the medical field with other medical diagnoses, people usually talk to more than one person before just accepting results.
What are the different treatment options for ADHD?
Different treatment options include a behavior plan, behaviorism, which is one of the most common and can be the most effective treatments for ADHD in terms of setting up an environment both at school and at home where a child knows what's expected of him or her and gives them the strongest chance of being successful, controlling their behavior, sustaining their attention, and basically following the rules and responsibilities that they have in the environment that they're in. Another very common intervention is medication. There's been lots of studies on medication, and medication has stigma in our culture about putting a child on a stimulant medication. That being said, medication continues to be one of the most effective treatments for ADHD in the context of also a holistic behavior plan too. Because when a child is having moderate to severe forms of ADHD and it's really impacting their lives, we have to remember that their self-esteem is dropping. They are starting to feel like failures. Kids are making fun of them. Kids don't want to be around them. Teachers are constantly telling them what they're doing wrong, that they need to pay attention, that they need to keep their hands to themselves. And parents usually are in the situation of correcting their behavior over and over and over, whether they're fading out or they're being impulsive or hyper at home. So what happens is a cycle of a child engaging in a behavior, not really knowing that they're going to do something wrong, and then getting negative feedback. There are also other alternative forms that people try, including biofeedback, diet, and other mindfulness-based techniques. All of them seem to have some merit as part of an overall treatment plan, and everyone has to use the treatments that feel most comfortable to them and fit with their family values. I just also strongly suggest that people are always looking at the impact of the ADHD on their child's life and use that as the metric to determine how intense the intervention is needed to help the child be successful on a daily basis.
Why is it so important that a parent get an accurate diagnosis of ADHD?
Accurate diagnoses guide the treatment, guide the plan, guide the intervention. So first of all, it's important to know why your child is behaving the way he or she is, not only to help them understand their behavior, but also for you to understand where they might be doing something that they can't necessarily control. It will impact the way you will parent. A child spends up to 7 hours a day in school, and if they have ADHD, they're likely having constant challenges with following directions, paying attention, and keeping their body doing whatever their body's supposed to be doing or not doing throughout the day. As such, kids with ADHD need school plans to help them be successful. And under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, they can qualify for a Section 504 plan. And what that means is they can be protected, legally protected, to have accommodations, not exceptions, but accommodations in the classroom that will allow them to be more successful, to help even the playing field so they will be able to do as well as someone would do without ADHD. And some of those interventions include preferential seating, teacher reminders, frequent check-in with parents to make sure that everyone's on the same page, being able to get up and move around the room to take breaks, sometimes get to go to the office to bring a letter back or forth. But it's basically accommodations that allow a child to be able to be successful by being more attentive, put the paper in the right box, and be aware of what's happening in the classroom so that they can perform like their peers.
So what advice do you have for parents of children who have ADHD?
Hold on for the ride. Work on your patience and know that kids with ADHD are wonderfully challenging and also wonderfully exciting. And the hardest part of often about parenting a child with ADHD is the stamina it takes to parent them and advocate for them in the schools. And it's really important for you to be in that role to help them navigate their environment until they're old enough to advocate for themselves and ask for what they need to be successful.
Thank you, Dr. Peters, for this invaluable information. Dr. Peters and his staff at the Summit Center use a strength-based approach to find out what is right with your child, while also identifying and understanding your child's weaknesses and challenges. For more information about diagnosis and treating ADHD, please visit the Summit Center's website at www.summitcenter.us. To hear more interviews and stories like this, as well as information about issues affecting our children, please go to first5kids.org to subscribe to our Ask the Experts and Hot Topic podcast. The site also contains local, state, and national information about children prenatal through age 5. Also, be sure to tune in to our in-depth family-focused podcast. Again, the website is first5, that's the number 5, kids.org.